good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Jay Oliver here, another edition of Ask the Medical Experts, all involved in the Peconic Bay Medical Center. Each and every week, we give you an expert in their particular field of what makes this great institution run out in Riverhead. And today, no different, the manager of the Speech-Language Pathology Program. Her name is Annie McGarry. And we welcome her to the airwaves right here on LA News Radio. A very good afternoon to Annie. And if you don't mind, give us a little bit about yourself. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Hello. Yes, my name is Annie McGarry. So that involves the patients in the hospital. It involves the rehab skilled nursing facility we have here and also our outpatient clinic.
There you go. Give us an idea exactly regarding what is speech-language pathology and what are some of the treatments and some of the programs that you provide.
Yeah, so a speech pathologist is trained to treat patients who have difficulty with their speech, which would be any sort of speech production issue, their language, which would have to do with potentially how they're understanding or how they're getting their words out and communicating. Their voice, which could relate to their vocal quality, if there's abuse in their voice, if there's a head and neck cancer, which could affect their voice, cognitive function, which could relate to their memory, their reasoning, their problem solving, organization, and also we address swallowing difficulties. So we also, as speech therapists, we can specialize in certain areas, whether we work with the children or with children or adults. And there are a lot of opportunities in this field to whether you work as a medical therapist in the education system, have a private practice, or do home care. So we have a lot of options.
All right. Very good. Some of the more common cognitive language communication disorders treated over at the PBMC, Annie, if you can tell us, are there any of them preventable?
So, yeah, so obviously depending on what the patient is diagnosed with is going to dictate or predict what kind of difficulty they may have. For instance, if somebody did have a stroke, we may see difficulties with their swallowing, with their ability to communicate, with their ability to comprehend, with their ability for cognition, for memory, to hold on to new information. If it was somebody who had head and neck cancer, we're most likely going to see difficulty with swallowing. We may see difficulty with voice, with their speech if they have oral cancer. For another instance, if somebody has dementia, we're going to see difficulty with cognition. So it really is dictated by what their diagnosis is and what their difficulty is. As far as preventative, getting therapy as early as possible is almost always the best thing to do. With these different diagnoses, most often our patients are going to go to their medical doctor first based on what their symptoms they have, and they will refer to us hopefully as soon as possible. So we always can get therapy started, again, as soon as possible.
Okay. What about PBMC? I mean, do they use any speech assistance technology to aid patients all during a speech therapy? Can you enlighten us there?
So, yes, if somebody needed augmentative communication system, there's a process of how to go through that. There are, because we're in such a technological world at this point, there's so many options. The iPad is a great tool that can be used for a communication system. It can be used for therapy, and it's more readily available. If somebody needed something a little bit more high-tech, then we have a full consultation, and we try to fit that person to the best augmentative communication system that works for them.
What about the options involved? I mean, does the Peconic Bay Medical Center offer any speech therapy options for those who do not, let's say, speak English? Or for those whom English may be a second language? How does that work?
Yeah, so assuming if their primary language is not English or they don't speak English at all, We always have interpretive services available in any setting where we see the patients to make sure that we're able to communicate effectively with them. So, yes, we take care of that with any language.
It doesn't matter. That doesn't come into play. No problems there. We're talking with Annie McGarry, Manager of Speech Language Pathology, the program PBMC, Ask the Medical Experts. What about some of the swallowing disorders? What are they? Who might they affect? And how do patients, Annie, kind of cope with some of these related symptoms involved there?
So swallowing difficulty is really any difficulty swallowing that could affect the mouth, the throat, and even the esophagus. So some common signs you might see with swallowing difficulty could be, coughing when somebody's drinking or eating, or feeling or throat clearing while drinking or eating. If somebody, after drinking or eating again, gets a wet vocal quality. There could be sneezing during a meal, or the sensation of food getting stuck in the throat or being held up in the esophagus, or even just a sensation of fullness in the throat. Those are some of the common signs for swallowing difficulty. There may be also very subtle signs such as reduced intake or weight loss. So those might be subtle. The person might not be able to communicate that they have difficulty swallowing, but you may notice it through that weight loss or reduced intake. So what would happen is that the speech therapist would complete an assessment to diagnose the dysphagia, the swallowing difficulty, and then make a therapy plan individual to that person based on their difficulty.
Gotcha. So you're handling that. What about how does it affect the children out there? And you work with patients, I'm assuming, of all ages. What would be some of the more common disorders that you treat in kids?
Yes, we work with adults and children here at the Conic Day. And I think probably most common that we see related to maybe swallowing and more so feeding problems would be related to maybe perhaps delays in their ability to orally manage the food or swallow the food successfully. And with children, we often see children who come to us who are picky eaters, who narrow down their food and perhaps only have two or three foods that they eat and have textural issues and sensation issues, and their food intake is limited. So they will come to us also. And with pediatrics also, we'll see on the other end of that, if there are speech delays or language delays that are impacting communication, they will come to us.
I always remember with my kids, a very common occurrence was, thrush, which was the irritations within the mouth and whatnot. But that also was part of to make sure that the cure was on the way. Not only that, but it definitely affected the problems of speech and whatnot. But I'm sure that's a common problem you find as well in kids, right?
Definitely. And you got to treat the whole child in that situation. There's a lot of different variables that can impact their swallowing function, for sure,
language. No question. Let's see if we get one more in before the break, and that is, other teams within the health system. I know there are you work with in providing patients with a comprehensive treatment and rehabilitation program. What are some of the other teams within the system that kind of team up with what you guys do?
Sure. From the rehab standpoint, physical therapy, occupational speech therapy, and the dietitians work very well together because what we do in one area definitely has an impact in another area. So we've got a cohesive team here that communicates with each other on a daily basis. In addition to that, we're always communicating with the MDs that are following this patient. From the speech perspective, we're often communicating with the ENTs, with pulmonary, with gastroenterology, with neurology. Those are the ones that that are often refer the patients through us. And so we definitely cohesively talk together and communicate together so that we can take care of the patient as best as possible.
Yeah, very important stuff. No question. It's teamwork, and that's what happens, folks.
Absolutely.
When it comes to this type of department, it's really kind of gathering with other areas to make sure the patient is at the center of all, and that is to treat, to rehabilitate, and then get them back on the road to recovery. That is the key, I think, the mantra to all. We will continue with our program, ladies and gentlemen, as we take a break. Annie McGarry happens to be the manager of the Speech Language Pathology Program. And we're talking the Peconic Bay Medical Center in Riverhead. And we will return to Annie with more conversation right after these words. Two, Jay Oliver here as the medical experts, Peconic Bay Medical Center. Each and every week we give you an expert in the field as we try and kind of decipher really what makes this incredible medical institution work. And it really does, in a big way, the transformation, one of the best hospitals on Long Island without question. Talking with Anna McGarry, manager of the Speech Language Pathology Program. What advice, Annie, would you give to college and high school graduates who are, you know, interested in this field, pursuing maybe a career in speech pathology? What would you give them?
I would definitely recommend for them to reach out to speech pathologists that are in the field and have conversations with them. Try to see if they can observe therapy sessions, especially across different settings. Because we have such a variety of locations of where we can work, the hospital, the school, private practice, home care, I think it really gives that person a good feel for what we do across the board, that lets them help decide if this is the field for them.
Do you find that more and more young people are starting to get into this field now?
It's been fairly steady. It's a pretty good field for people to go into. It really is. I know that there, in the past, there used to be more of a draw towards the education setting, and yeah. I'd say more for that. There's a lot more expansion of knowledge of the value that we handle in the medical profession. So there are a lot of students that want to have that experience and come to us for that to get that experience. So I do see that growth.
There you go. What about the patient experience themselves? What kind of separates that at PBMC from, let's say, other hospitals for patients in need of speech pathology services? What's the separation factor? What do you see? You've been there a while now. What do you see?
I think, first off, I see we have a very cohesive program here. And what I mean by that is we really get to follow the patient from when they first enter through the emergency room and through their whole course in the hospital. If they do come to our rehab facility here, we see them here. Peconic Bay also has a home care service where they see them. And then we have our outpatient setting. And we all, you know, the therapist follows suit through all those settings. So we can really follow that patient, see their progress, you know, provide that encouragement, knowing where they were and where they are now. I think that's a really a great benefit to them. And then there's also a level of comfort with the patients because they know that we communicate with each other and we work together. I think also the fact that we are part of Northwell allows us to have access to top-notch doctors. That we all work very well together, communicating with each other and really trying to do our best to take care of these patients as best as we can. And that, and having these specialized doctors at our fingertips is amazing, and it just allows us to do the best that we can do.
It's really, you hit it with Northwell. I mean, it's, you know, when you have the backing of one of the best, you know, you're going to get all the services, all the tools needed to make it go, you know, like a fine-tuned yeah. Porsche, you know. But Northwell, you know, being part of Northwell, right, is just amazing.
Right, absolutely. You know? They're very supportive we do to take care of our patients the best way that we can.
Yeah. What about those listening right now? If they wanted to learn a little bit more about speech pathology services available at Peconic Bay Medical Center, what would they do?
So there's a phone number and an email. The phone number to call would be 631-548-6744, or they can email me at amcgarry1, so that's amcgarry1, at northwell.edu. So either way is fine. They can reach out, and I will certainly get back to them and share any information that they're that they need.
To know, what about senior citizens? I mean, do you find you get a lot of seniors as patients, and you know, speech affected illnesses? You know, maybe after a stroke and trying to kind of, you know, relearn and everything else. I mean, do you see a lot of that, and how tough is that as far as the process of rehabilitation in senior citizens?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there is somewhat of a difference if, you know, you've got a 40-year-old who has an injury compared to an 80-year-old, and they're relearning. It could definitely present differently. We do see a lot of, older people that come through here with quite a few different difficulties, and you know, we're here for them. We can service all their needs and what disabilities they have, and help them along to recover any of their skills.
Do you see the world of speech pathology treatments programs? Do you see that on another level, Annie, in 10 years from now? I mean, we've seen a lot of change in those types of efforts over the last 10, 20 years. I mean, can you see something down the road where it's really a game changer?
Well, I think technology is always developing, and that allows us to do our job better in a lot of ways, whether it helps us in diagnosing or in the treatment for patients. So that is definitely an avenue that has grown, and I imagine it probably would in the future also. That could help us do even better for the patients.
Good to know. Very good to know. So definitely in play there. Talk to me a little bit about your staff and everything else. Large staff, I mean, everything involved in the process on both ends, treatment, rehab, and everything else. Give me a little idea there, what you got to work with.
So, yeah, so we, like I had said, we have staff in the hospital, staff in the rehab, and we have staff in outpatient. So we cover all areas there. And I would say that in the hospital, majority of what we do there is related to swallowing difficulty. For those patients who are, you know, critically ill, they often have difficulty swallowing as their primary concern for us there. Once we're in the rehab component of things, then we will look a little bit more in depth. We will address their swallowing issues, but we have more time and ability to kind of look at, are they having difficulty communicating? Are they having difficulty or changes in their cognition? And we can address the other aspects of things because we have more time with them. And then outpatient is just an array of population that will come there, whether it's a stroke, whether it's a progressive neurologic, whether it's a head and neck cancer, which is definitely grown quite a bit, and we've expanded our cancer services here with Northwell in Riverhead. So we're seeing definitely a growth for that, and really developing that program to reach those people to get to us. And then, of course, in outpatient, we do see the pediatrics there, which is the only place that we do work with pediatrics is our outpatient clinic. So we have a great team here that work very well together and are trained across the department. So it allows really good carryover where a therapist can, you know, has the experience in skilled rehab and then the hospital and then outpatient, and allows for that really good transition.
Yeah, and you know, finally, final thought on my end, and that is, you know, sometimes, you know, we kind of take it for granted, right? The ability to speak and think and express, and, you know, I think that's the biggest thing to take out of it, is that it could be grabbed from us at any time, and, you know, we're thankful to what you guys do, because you help put people back in the lane as far as communication, which is really the most valuable asset I think we have as human beings. You know, being able to express, communicate, we sometimes take it for granted. And, you know, you really put a lot of perspective into that.
Yes, it definitely is. You know, you don't realize how valuable anything that you do on a daily basis until it's gone or altered some way. And then you realize, you know, how significant it is. And communication is definitely one of those. The other aspect is that swallowing component, because most people don't think about that they could have difficulty swallowing. And that, it really is a quality of life issue for sure. But, until you're going through it, you never know what it's going to be like. So, it's a challenge for these people and these patients to kind of work through and get better. But, of course, we're always here to support them and get them back to their baseline or as best as they can be in any skill.
It's amazing. We take our hats off to you because it's such a valuable tool in getting people to get back to their lives in a normal fashion. Fantastic stuff. Learned a lot. Andy McGarry, the manager, ladies and gentlemen, of the Speech Language Pathology Program. We're talking Peconic Bay Medical Center and Ask the Medical Experts. And we thank Andy. And we'll do it again next week. Jay Oliver here, Ask the Medical Experts. Have a wonderful rest of your Saturday. Stay well, stay safe, I should say. And please stay healthy. We'll see you next week.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its